You're listening to the best of Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. Let's roll.
So the Marlins are playing the Yankees tonight. Derek Jeter has actually, he's in New York.
Oh, great.
But he's not going to the game.
Which is insane.
Because he said it would be too awkward.
No.
Just admit you don't want to watch your piece of crap baseball team play.
Exactly.
No, but I got to understand. Then why go to New York then? Yeah. What's the point? Yeah. Just stay in Florida.
Like, I just don't get too awkward for what?
Yeah. Like, people asking you?
Hey, what's up with the Marlins, dude?
I think he wants to avoid the questions, actually. I brought this up last week, Cap. If you remember, I brought this up. So basically after the whole Loria and Samson thing, they're slicksters, man. They got the city to pay for the stadium and everything, but the stadium was supposed to get some money back and like a little bit of the revenue, etc. So after the sale, they're owed money, man. You know, and Loria basically stated that somehow he lost money on a $1.2 billion sale and he got a free stadium. So Loria passed a buck and Loria is pretty slick and Loria passed it on to Jeter, etc. It's like Loria's like, it's not my problem.
Your problem, bro.
I don't own the team anymore. That's your
problem.
You
do.
So the courts in Florida found that the Miami Marlins are basically on the hook. Like, we don't care who owns the damn team. You owe the city of Miami money. Derek Jeter, of course, claimed last week that, we'd like to help you out. But the thing is, the corporation that owns the team is in the Virgin Islands.
Offshore.
Yeah, it's an offshore Virgin Islands.
Slick response by Jeter.
He basically said you'll have to like file this suit in a Virgin Island courtroom, which is
not going to happen.
It's a Florida thing. So Jeter's like sleazing up already, and I'm like a couple of weeks in, gets rid of all the players. So Marlins men.
I love Marlins, man.
Me too. I hate the Marlins, but I like that guy.
You got to respect Marlins, man, because he's there all the time.
Yeah, and people bitch too about Marlins, man.
What are you talking? He's amazing.
He's really not rich. They're all like, "Oh, this guy's some rich guy. He's an idiot. He's a Marlin fan. He goes to the World Series and Super Bowls in his Marlin jersey." He's just he's an average guy. He says he spends all his money going to sporting events.
Yeah.
Like that's his thing. Like he's just a big sports fan.
I gotta be honest with you.
He's not a spoiled millionaire brat kid going around.
Why would sports fans take a shot at Marlins, man? He's what's good about. Like he shows up.
They were pissed off because he went to the Royals World Series and he was sitting behind. They're like, it should be a Royal fan there.
Oh,
screw
down.
You. It's America.
Exactly.
He has money. He bought the ticket.
Yeah, he's wearing his Marlins jersey.
Exactly.
Screw you.
Exactly.
I love Marlins, man. I'm with you. I think he's amazing.
Marlin man's hardcore. Marlin man's not getting along with Derek Jeter.
No, it's a bad relationship.
When they had like a town hall before the season started, Marlin man,
he showed up angry.
Yeah, and he got like removed. Like they got ugly and stuff. Right, he was asking some questions about a lot of things, and Jeter was kind of rude to the guy. Jeter said, "I don't know who he is," and everyone's like, "Dude,
it's Marlin
man. Bought the team. You should at least know the one guy that likes you." Like, you know what I mean? It's true though. Like, there's one fan of
That's
the Marlins,
true.
And Jeter's like, "I don't know who he is." So, yeah, Marlins man didn't take that very well.
I wouldn't either.
No, so the Marlins man now with the Virgin Islands stuff, he actually got on a plane, Cam, and he went to the Virgin Islands.
Oh, wicked, to make sure these guys are going to pay?
He went to the head office in the Virgin Islands. It's a post office box. It's a post office box.
That's awesome.
He filmed it.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, Marlins, man. I'm in the Virgin Islands. He's like, there's all the locals giving him weird looks. He goes in. He goes, this is the Marlins headquarters. And he goes in. It's like a post office
place. You get your mail.
Yeah.
Like a UPS.
And there's all these
box.
People. They're all like, there's a camera with him. And they're all looking. And he's like, I'm here to see the president of the Marlins. They're like, it's just some chick that works in a post, like, mailbox, like, and photocopy place.
She's basically working at a Kinko's.
And she's like, I've never heard of the Marlins. And he's like, yeah, but this is, he's showing them, he's like, this is the address of the Marlins. And she's like, yeah, this is the right address, but, I don't know any Marlins. Wow. It's a P.O. box.
Amazing.
So he started handing out Marlins gear to them all. He goes, since you're Marlins employees, I thought you should have this. He's giving out, and it's funny, the people in the Virgin Islands didn't even want it. Like, there's this dude. He offered, like, a guy, like, a free Marlins baseball hat. This guy, he's like, he reluctantly took it after, like, Marlin man, free, just take it. Like, so, yeah, Marlins man did, like, an investigative piece. He's like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's a P.O. box. Jeter's got some explaining to do.
I love it. This guy's amazing.
And now they're playing in New York, and Jeter doesn't want to show up to the stadium because he says it's awkward.
Wow.
No, you just don't want to show up to the stadium and have all the people in the media asking you, so what's up with your P.O. box in the Virgin Islands? You don't even have an office.
I don't even tell you what kind of fan would pay on his own dime to go down to the Virgin Islands to investigate something, film it. Like, you want to talk about hardcore Marlins man should get, like, now he, to me, that's like Hall of Fame status.
We
for
should
doing
know.
Like
we
that.
Should. I should know, though, from, it's still hardcore what he did. Just to think about it and say, you know what, I'm going to go check this place to see if it's real. Yeah. And he was right with a P.O. box. But from Florida to the Virgin Islands, it's not that bad because in his video, he said, I just spent the last 6 hours coming here. Because he had to go from Miami to Puerto Rico, which is pretty close. So he went from Miami to Puerto Rico and then Puerto Rico to the Virgin Islands.
Still impressive. And he bought gear for those people, even if they didn't want it. At least that's thumbs up, in my opinion. Yeah, Marlin man's amazing.
He's walking around with his orange Marlin jersey in the Virgin Islands.
The guy's hardcore. You can't. I don't know anybody that would do that for their sports organization, so he deserves some street cred for that. I think it's fantastic.
I didn't think that Derek Jeter's start could be this bad, Kev.
It's brutal. No, it's embarrassing. Like, it's almost tarnishing his legacy.
Yeah, like we're talking about,
it's
really
going to get real ugly.
We're 2 weeks into this thing, and we've got slush funds and Virgin Island accounts.
The old boxes running out of Kinko's.
And lawsuits from the city of Miami. Like, what?
No, this is
this
bad.
Is worse than Lori almost. Like, at least Lori actually had an office in Miami. Like, at least Lori, I went through the trouble of actually, like, renting. Yeah, like, we're a real operation. This is Derek Jeter, man. This is like monorail in The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's right. Put North Haverbrook on the map. Monorail.
Excuse me, I'm here to ask you about the monorail. It's a monorail cafe. There ain't no monorail, and there never was. Get out of here. Like, seriously, we're 2 weeks into this thing with Derek Jeter. And it's worse than Lori and Sampson somehow, which is hard to do.
It's very hard to
do. It's hard to do, but it's worse than Lori and Sampson.
He's real slimy when
it
comes to business.
He's pissed off Marlins, man. He's got a feud with the city of Miami going, and it's been exposed. Like, it's a P.O. box. It's a freaking P.O. box.
It's awesome.
Like, it's beyond embarrassing. Like, really, Derek Jeter, like, what the hell are you doing?
I love it.
Like, how ghetto and amateur. Here it is. Look at this. Here, look again. Here, check this out. Here it is.
It looks like a rundown hotel.
All right, hold on.
That makes the El Cortez look like the Rio.
Listen, I'm going to send this over right now to, are you there, Florio? Florio's got a lot of things going on. It's like an airport in that place.
No, right, hey,
good stuff,
it's
Mike.
It's like an airport in that
all
place.
All right, Mike, check the G-chat here. Boom, just sent it. If you can't, play the audio for us here, okay? We don't have to worry about copyright here. It's just Marlin.
It's Marlin Man's work. You'll be happy that we clicked on it.
No, exactly. We're giving. Yeah, we show up and give him a show.
Thanks for the support, guys.
Exactly. Like, he put this on Twitter. It's his, like, it's, you know. Yes, sir. Yeah, play the video. Here's the audio.
Florence Levy, and I'm here in the British Virgin Islands. And Andy Slater promised me I'd be coming to the Miami Marlins, otherwise known as the Virgin Islands Marlins Team Co. home office. I brought shirts, I brought visors, I brought stuff to give to everybody. My absolute shock. It's a letterbox post office place. It is not an office like we have in Miami. We walked inside, Andy Slater found this. He did the work, he didn't tell me. We walked inside, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Okay, it's a rack of mailboxes, and it's called Letterbox Rental. I got a picture of it. And I don't know what Andy has to say about this, but I'm pissed off. I just went from Miami to Puerto Rico to the Virgin Islands to bring orange Marlins gear to people down here to find out there's nobody here. It's just a drop box. That sucks.
Wow, that sounds sucks. Windy.
Yeah. You see him here too, Ken. He's outside.
He's just hanging out. It's like one of those hotels you rent for an hour.
No, no, really. I know. Like, look at this place.
Like, it's like, awful. Like, I looked at
the picture. It's not even a classy place. Like, look.
No, it's a dump. Like, it's a straight up dump.
People are looking at him like, who's this white guy? What the hell is he doing here? Like, why is he? Why?
I'm pissed off.
And Flory, what do you think about this? And now you see Jeter. The Marlins are playing the Yankees tonight.
Nowhere to be found.
And Jeter's in New York, but he's not going to the stadium. Like, what the hell's?
I'm pretty happy that Jeter's getting exposed to be a fraud.
You are, huh?
Nice. Growing up as a Met fan, all you heard that Jeter is the perfect guy ever. You knew there was something that wasn't perfect about him. So I'm happy it's finally coming out.
Nobody's perfect, Florio.
Like Cam said, Jeter's image, Florio.
It's really tanking.
His image is like, give it another 2 weeks and it's all gone.
Oh,
he's just a new scumbag owner that they're going to want to run out of town.
Exactly.
But he'll always be loved here in New York, no matter what he does.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Tony Cincata. I know Tony's listening, actually. And Tony hates Jeter, too. Of course, he said he's a selfish player, wouldn't move for A-Rod. And Tony Cincata checks in, actually, and says, I have all these Canadian coins I've been trying to get rid of. Send me the guy's address. I'll send it to him.
Send it to my P.O. box.
You stay classy, Tony. You're like the Patriots. You're a sore loser, Tony. Tony wants to pay and change. What, you got 100 loonies?
I remember a guy did that to me in high school. I won a bet, and he paid me $100 in pennies, and I punched him out. It was actually the only time I've actually really been mad. I'm not a violent guy, but I said, you know what, dude? That's so disrespectful. I go, we're fighting, and I just knocked it. Bam. Stupid punk.
Because
this guy Todd, he's a real dick.
Why did he give you $100?
Because he's just a dick. Because he's a dick. I won a bet, and he paid me like bags of money and coins. I go, that's such a dick move. Like, look what I paid you. I gave you a $100 bill for the pool. I don't even care if you pay like some of it in change. You know what I mean? If you give me rolled quarters, I won't even get mad. Marazzi, if you gave me some rolled quarters. You're done.
So you punch the guy.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean a bag. Like, they weren't even, like, when somebody gives you a change, when you go to the bank, you know, you get the dollars and the brown things. Like, not nice. Like, your coins are rolled. They're prepared. You give them to the teller. They give you cash. It was a shopping bag. Shopping bags of pennies. What a jackass.
It's like Seinfeld. Are you Todd Gack?
Yeah, Todd Gack.
Here's your money. Yeah. It's all in coins. You're right. It's a
it's a scumbag move. It's a move of disrespect.
But let me ask you,
Dick.
There was a guy in Florida who owed like $700 in parking tickets money.
Yeah.
And he walked into the cop shop, and same thing. He dropped.
Oh, I got no problem with that. That's a parking authority.
He took it out of like this bag. He took like a pillowcase and and it went all over the counter.
Amazing.
And he said, "Here's your money." And he started walking out. And like the cop in
they
the station
him.
Said, yo, what the hell do you think you're doing? And they started arguing, and the cop attacked the guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, like it got hostile fast. The guy said, I owe Fort Lauderdale County $480 or whatever it was. There it is. Count it. And they were like, we're not counting it. We're not accepting it. And he got, you know, but he said, this is legal tender currency.
Legal, yeah, but
you can't not accept it.
It's a difference.
You got to roll it up and everything.
I agree with that.
Can't go in and pour it on the counter.
That thing is, I also knew the guy, and he did it. That's what makes it worse about it. This guy's doing parking tickets. You can do whatever you want to the county. I don't care. I owe so much in parking tickets, too. I'd love to pay them in change.
Yeah, all right. We Fantasy Sports Radio Networks fired off a poll question. Who do you support? Team Jeter or Marlin Man?
Marlin Man.
Yeah, we're going Marlin Man.
All day and all night.
Yeah, we're going Marlin's Man on this. Well, Marlin Man's a good guy. He cares about the franchise.
I don't know what kind of guy would make a trek like that with merchandise and expose them. Great job. Great investigative report.
Marlin's Man, you should start looking for condos in the Montreal area.
So nice.
Maybe
nice.
The Marlins end up in Montreal.
That was a good one.
When it's all said and done. Major League Baseball, Cam, you know, listen, we're not going to have any panic buttons or anything like that because we're only 7.7% in. I actually know that due to some stats we'll get to a little bit later on. So we've essentially played like 7% of the Major League Baseball season, but attendance is like beyond bad.
Oh, it's awful. Like you saw the White Sox, what was that?
900
people, yeah, at a professional baseball game. You said Tony Steam Shrimps are getting more.
Oh, yeah, no. The jumbo shrimp are averaging more fans. Yeah. Double-A teams averaging more fans than the Marlins
and
are.
You're in the MLB boardroom. What are you, like, you better be damn concerned.
They're not,
we're just starting the season.
They're not the only. Like, there's a ton of Triple-A teams that are averaging more than they are, et cetera. Yeah. But, like, yeah, the White Sox, like, they got 900 people one game. They were saying the other day there was about 1,400 people in the stadium.
That's
like,
nuts.
Even if the weather's bad, and even if the team is really bad, there's still like 7,000 people that have nothing else to do in their lives and have the White Sox jacket on and live for the team. And every city has that core. Like, where's the core? We got 900 people.
They're gone, Gabe. They're gone. Like, long gone.
My band Homicides play bigger concerts than Major League Baseball games. Like, we got a problem. They're joining us from the bathroom. What's up, Tony?
Not much. I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling relieved.
Feel a little better. Feel lighter now.
Lighter.
Yeah, my stomach is settled. You know, it's interesting when you guys were talking about FanDuel and DraftKings. What's going on here is they were getting called out by the government because with these new gambling laws that are supposed to be enacted, they were double dipping. They wanted the integrity fee, right, that they wanted to pass to these states, 1% tax go back to the leagues. And then they were owning DraftKings, who is going to have an online gambling site. So they wanted to
take integrity fee that they're paying. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So they said, you know what? We'll still do business, but we'll divest out of the ownership. And that's the way to please the government.
The fact that the government is involved in this yes. stuff is just stupid.
Well, that's what we were talking about, even for our local election. The current premier wants to, with the legalization of marijuana, wants to put it in liquor stores and whatever, whereas Rob Ford, the other candidate, wants to keep it to an open market. Doug Ford. Sorry, I look more like Rob Ford. But I'm just saying, you know these guys who they have. If they have quality product, you know the distributors have to go through a stringent case anyway. So the government just needs to back down and stay less involved in something that's already controlling itself.
It's so the leagues are getting out so they can get in. It's basically what they're doing here.
They got the money to do it, that's for sure.
Well, as I said, I'm surprised that they just don't do it themselves, but they don't do that for legal purposes as well, because in some states, fantasy sports is still legal. But imagine like the National Football League. They could just cut out every middleman and run a DFS and season-long fantasy sites through their own league, Tony. I mean, they already do, right? They already do have season-long sites. They already have contests and Survivor and this and that.
You do your Survivor on the NFL site.
Yeah, I do, but they could step up. Similar sort of Yahoo, right? I mean, just sort of cut out the middleman, especially the NBA. But it's a good point with the gambling law. And I don't know what's taking the Supreme Court so freaking long with this.
I heard it's going to be the second week of May, so I think we're getting closer.
Yeah, people said they heard it was going to be the first week of April, and it was going to blah, blah, blah.
Mr. Christie himself, though, on Cotton Show, said it would be the second week of May. So he should be in touch with this corrupt government. He's one of them.
Tony. Tony's the best.
I was actually speaking of which. The way things are going, Tony, the Supreme Court better get a decision out for this because they're going to have bigger things on their hands, too.
Like,
I have a feeling there's a lot of big things going to be approaching the Supreme Court in the near future.
I was going to tell you guys about the story about Rob Gronkowski, who bought a horse named Gronkowski.
Yeah. It's basically a British horse. Did.
Yeah, it's won four races in a row. It's going to be at the Kentucky Derby on the first weekend in May. But the best is Gronk like talked to the British guy, Tony. He's like, "Hey man, I want to ride the horse."
Yeah.
The guy's like, "You're 265 pounds. Like my jockey's 113 to 115." Like Gronk's like, "No, like seriously, I just want to get on top of the horse." The guy's like, "You don't get it, bro. Like, you can't get on top of this horse. You're going to break it." Like, he thinks he can, like, go ride the horse.
He's so
this
stupid.
Guy is so stupid. He's honestly, he'd be the, like, hey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's insane.
He'd injure the horse sitting on it. Yeah,
exactly.
He's a real rocket scientist.
I'm trying to figure out now. So here's what happens. The Patriots all go to the Kentucky Derby. Like, that's the thing. Julian Edelman. So now Gronk gets a horse. He's there. But do you think he had to pay for this? Or do you think that they just gave him, you know, a little piece so they
we're in the horse racing business. These guys are the cheapest.
They don't
penny
pitching.
I can tell you they're probably stealing from Gronk right now.
I guarantee you half the people in the horse racing street don't even know who Rob Gronkowski is. They just think he's a big, goofy, rich white kid.
Yeah, they hope his wallet's fat, I could tell you that.
Yeah, it's,
But this horse is already a winner. Won the Burden Stakes, won four races in a row. He's not picking up a trotter. He's picking up a thoroughbred.
This should be interesting. You're right, the Patriots, there's always incidents when we go, what was it, Wes Welker was all high on ecstasy and Molly and stuff?
Amazing. Woo, run, horsey.
Hey, he was all wasted, handing out. Pretty cool, though. Nice guy. He was handing out $100 bills to strangers.
I wish I was there. We could really use
He was he was wasted. He was like, he was on ecstasy. So he was like, ecstasy, like, like they hug and everything's
free
great.
Love.
So yeah, he's all nice and like, hey man, and he's just handing out $100 bills to everyone.
I really wish we were at that one.
Yeah, you get a free $100 bet.
Come as a disguise to get another one.
Yeah, you went right back up to him.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
It's like when they give away the free sample on the street. Cam, like, double goes back, Tony.
I'm not going to lie to you. Gabe's local grocery store, they've been really, really feeling it these days. I guess a lot of people in this rich area by the studio have been, like, putting money into the store. The new pizza guy, he's not just bringing out samples. Like, he's, like, lining them up at the top. And I just sit there. I'm like, this one's good. You got a meat lovers and whatever. I could basically get my lunch there like it's a Costco. It's absolutely fantastic. And the manager felt bad for me one day. I ran out of gas. I had to get home, Morenci, so I gave him a sob story. He lent me $20. I go, oh, I needed to pick up some groceries. He goes, here's a $25. He gave me a gift card for the restaurant, for the grocery store, because I spend so much money there, right? I buy roasts and stuff. I was like, wow, man, I lost my wallet and stuff, and the guy gave me money to get home. It was very. I thought I was going to be stranded.
Yeah, when
so
I was working.
Are good.
When I was working in New York, me, Ronis, and Angle used to go in this bagel place that always had a sample tray. And I would, throw a little cream cheese on it, and then I would go, this ain't bad, but, I need a little more kick to it. Then I would try the next one, and Angle's like, they're going to kick us out. And the lady became friendly with me, and she asked me for my phone number because I was the guy that was the bagel guy, and I would give them my review every morning on my bagels, and I never paid for a damn thing.
Did you roll her dough?
I tried. We had a communication problem. She didn't speak English. And
But she liked,
she liked
giving you free food.
I know that bagel place. What, the place right across the street there?
It's on the same side of the street, but it's about four things up, four or five
yeah,
things
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know the place.
Morenci, you can't beat free samples.
I was told that's the best bagel place ever and all this stuff.
Montreal's got wicked bagels.
Yeah, Montreal's got better bagels.
I would say that.
Come on, New York. You're upsetting the whole Jewish community.
Tony, and I'm an unbiased participant.
There's a lot of Jewish people in Montreal.
I've had all the New York bagels, and I've had Montreal. I think Montreal bagels are the best.
I'm telling you.
I asked people why the bagels.
Hasidic style, man. With the curls.
I asked why the bagels were better. They said they had better water. It's all about the water.
Yeah. You got to use the good stuff.
Yeah.
Don't cheap out.
Yeah. I'm sure the water on 35th Street's great, Tony.
Very it's pristine water.
I'm sure.
Florio.
It's got a fish with three eyes in there.
Yeah. I'm sure great water.
It's like Springfield.
Florio's peeing in the sore. And then we're going to get the bagels down there.
Great water in the area.
Great water for bagels.
It's known. It's spring water, just like Colorado Springs, Tony.
I'm 6 and 35th.
Yeah. It's great water. Known for its great water.
Hydrogen.
There's like rats inside the pipes.
Oh my God. You know what? So we worked weird hours when we were in New York, right? And you go through Times Square at 4 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't believe the size of the rats running around. They should have leashes. It's amazing.
I'm telling you, Tony, I'm gonna tell you. Yes, huh? I'm gonna tell you a true rat story from New York. When I was doing the Journey of the Cup, I met WWE's Renee Young Paquette down there.
Yeah.
So we went out for a beer. We're friends. Me and Gabe and her used to work together at the TV station. So we hooked up after we went to Madison Square Garden. We saw a rat the size of a raccoon lift up, like almost like bench press a full piece of New York slice and take off. Like they're huge, man. Like I'm telling you, he manhandled this pizza, not just the crust, the whole damn slice. And he was like toying with it. Like they were huge, monstrous. Like they're scary, man. I've seen I don't want to deal with those rats.
Yeah, Times Square. If you're homeless and listening to the show, don't sleep in Times Square. That is rough.
A lot of rats.
They are big, man.
Are huge. No, this one was huge. It was like a raccoon.
That's why they say the pizza in Las Vegas is no good. The water.
Oh, really?
Something about the dull.
Really? Yeah, it's also soft versus hard water. Have you ever noticed how when you have hard water, you buy those? Well, I'm just going to tell you a story about the difference between soft and hard water. You need water to be soft for everything that's good. The problem is in big cities, you get the hard water. Why do you think that turkey that I did that TV show with pimps those Windsor system pellets? It softens water and makes food and everything tastes better. And you also have a better shower, lighter on the skin.
See, I don't know anything about
this. Hot home tips, Gabe. I'm not just a man of Ziplocs and bags, water softeners.
Has it helped your skin?
Yeah, you're right. I should go invest in some.
This is Tony's talking.
Some water softeners.
Cam's giving us skin tips. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't see it. You know, you're not doing like any Noxzema.
I don't have any scabs or anything. No, I'm just saying it's.
Oh, you know what? I got a rash on my right ribs. Like, I don't know what happened here. Like, there's a little.
You need soft water, Tony.
It feels like I'm getting like bitten by little things.
And a gallon of polysporin.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. We get older, too.
Yeah, well, you got more some marks on you?
I got mysterious scratches on my body all the time.
Yeah.
I got, like, scratches on my arm. And, like, it looks like I had, like, crazy sex with someone. But I really...
You're having night terrors.
No, I did it.
No, what? You're scratching yourself.
No, I really didn't. It used to happen. I remember my ex-girlfriend used to freak, too. She's like, how come you have these scratches on your back and your neck? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I said, I just don't know.
So you're doing something at night. You might be like...
I think that somebody has a voodoo doll with me.
Well, you better get it out.
Yeah, I think someone's got a voodoo doll. They just screw me over and over. I don't know. There's a lot of mysteries in life, man. You can't figure anything out, right?
Well, I have a marble-sized thing in my belly button that my doctor told me I'm going to have to get removed. It's called an ulcer. And it's like literally almost the size of a golf ball now. I haven't showed you because I don't take off my shirt very often, but
I don't know
it's
if
a problem. No,
it.
I don't want to show you. You'll get disgusted.
Like, but you want to see it, Tony?
But it's getting bigger. No, you can see it. Like, if I go there, see it pop out?
See, I don't think it.
You mentioned this before.
And I'm telling you the truth. Look at it.
I almost want to see it now.
Want to touch it?
No. I don't want to touch it. I'd rather see it.
No, just look at it.
No, I'm not touching it.
Just put your finger into it.
No.
Just hit it.
Dude, he's got his belly in my face.
No, just do it. Just put your finger on it. It just feels like a bun.
Lick it.
Like, I don't understand why you're scared. Like, it's just a piece of skin.
He's literally standing up with his belly in my face, Tony. He's like, touch it.
Touch it. Lick
it. All right, lift
like
it up. Let's see.
I don't want to show it.
You don't got to get so close. Move back.
See it?
No, hold on. There. Sit back down.
See? It's purple.
Let's see.
It's purple.
Oh, dear God.
It's horrible. Right. I told you. It's huge. God.
Why don't you get
it's
it
an
out
ulcer.
Now?
What I don't understand is when I asked you to lift the shirt up.
Because I just wanted you to touch it because you can tell that it's like you decide. Like, I didn't want
to show
you.
I'm not a doctor.
Well, I wish you were. Can you tell me what the hell's going on? How come I have a golf ball in my stomach?
He's telling us he got a golf ball. And then he's like, he gets his big belly in my face. He's like, touch it. I'm like, no. And then I'm like, all right, let's see it.
Yeah, you
but
saw
for some
it.
Reason, he gets close. I'm like, no, you can see it still. Like, he thinks I'm a doctor. He's like,
I don't know.
He's like, here it is, doc.
Yeah, so but after seeing it, are you not concerned now?
Yes.
Yes.
It appears as if, though, you have, like,
two belly buttons.
A purple-sized golf ball that is inside your belly button.
Called a hernia. Like, you know when they say sports hernia? That's what the guys, when they
how,
go.
I thought a hernia was
how
a
do you know
no,
that?
But it, no, but it pops out in the front. That's what the
how
doctor
do you know
told
that?
Me. My doctor told me, he goes, I don't want to have to operate on you now because I go, we're just starting a 3-hour radio program. He goes, eventually you're going to have to come in for surgery. It was when we were doing the 1-hour show. And I said, and he also said, you can wait a few months.
Surgeries are like breaking up with somebody.
Oh,
never
boy.
A good time.
I don't want, no. Do you understand? Can I tell you, since we're telling story time, the last time I, Tony, I got to tell you this one.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I got to tell you the story quick before we get into more DFS.
I'm just a little freaked out by the golf.
Anyway, at least they're telling you the truth.
Right,
I thought you were a doctor.
Yeah, I wanted to see it.
Anyway,
the
last time I went for surgery, I went to a doctor and he told me I might have skin cancer because I used to get a lot of sunburns. Whoa. You know, right, Gabe? I got blonde hairs, red hair, whatever. When I was in Jamaica, I had I got burnt by the sun so bad I had blisters all over me, whatever. So when you're getting older, you get scared. So I went to a doctor. He goes, I had a big black mark on my leg. He goes, in my ankle. He goes, you got to take it out. I go, I want a second opinion. He goes, you got to take it out. So Morency, I went to the doctor and they put a bone saw basically in the thing to cut out my ankle. He estimated my weight wrong. He didn't give me enough anesthesia, and I feel the bone saw going through my leg. I go, I don't see anything. Like I started freaking out, jumped, and then finally the guy drugged me, and then got that's my experience. This guy, and now I have a big crazy thing in my ankle that I got to put special cream on because basically, this guy almost killed me. And he was supposed to be a respectable doctor. He put a bone saw into my ankle.
So how long? How long?
Sorry, I
can't. Cam's destroying the carpets now.
I don't know what's going on over here. We're back at the old table.
Yeah, all right. Just everyone settle down.
Yeah, anyway, see?
So, yeah, well, so what's the deal? How long are you going to live with that thing for?
The doctor says it's probably going to
get... It's kind of purple.
I know. It's got changed colors, too. I'm going to think I'm probably in the next couple months I'm going to get it taken out. It's starting
just,
to annoy me.
It's just a quick procedure.
Really?
Yeah.
When it's someone else, it's just a quick procedure.
Yeah, I know. He's talking to me. They got to put a knife into my stomach. I don't know about that.
No, I had my gallbladder taken out.
Did you? When did you get it done?
When did I have my gallbladder taken out?
Yes.
When I was like 25 or 26.
They just knock you out? Did it hurt?
I was, in fact, one of the first, I was one of the youngest ones ever to get my gallbladder removed, actually.
Interesting.
Not in the history of the world, no, but that the doctor had seen. Yeah.
How did you feel after? You feel after good?
No, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Really?
No, yeah. So I was going to say, yeah, nowadays, though, they have little microscopic cameras, Cam.
They got lasers?
So they're going to cut like a triangle.
Yeah, just take it all
little
out.
Little holes, and they stick this little camera in your stomach. They're going to zap, pop whatever it is that we need.
It's just a little it's like a marble.
But then they stitch you up. Yeah. It's actually incredibly painful. when I got out of the hospital.
This guy's unbelievable.
So get this. So I got out of the hospital, and I had the stitches. I had like a pyramid of stitches. So I had four stitches in my mid and my little belly. So they basically told me, listen, whatever you do, don't cough.
And don't
laugh.
And don't pick
up. Oh, my
God. Don't cough. Don't laugh.
Oh, my God. All I do is laugh. I love to laugh.
Dude, the stitches will split and your stomach will split open.
What am I going to do?
You're going to look like someone on a zombie on The Walking Dead with your guts falling out. So
I'm getting sick thinking about this.
So get this. They tell me, whatever you do, you can't. And they're like, we're serious. They said the pain will be unbearable and your stomach's going to, you're going to bleed open.
But all I do is
laugh. All right? So I'm like, all right, don't cough, don't laugh. My buddy picks me up. I get in the car. First thing he has is like a joint the size of Cheech and Chong, like hash, ultra powerful. Yeah. I take a toke. First thing, I start coughing. I'm like, oh, dear God. All right. So I'm trying to smoke it without coughing. All right. So I got through that. And, you know, I should note that I was pretty hardcore. When I was in a hospital, I was actually going out in the parking lot and blazing and stuff. Yeah. So
you're like, screw you, doctor.
So, yeah. I got through it. So I'm not laughing at all right? So I'm watching TV later in the night.
Three's Company's on.
And my mother warns me. I'm staying with my mother at the time because I lived in a dump, but I needed to be taken care of. So I went to my mother's house out in the country. So it's about 11 o'clock, 11:30, and she goes to bed and stuff. And she goes, remember, you can't laugh. So don't watch any of these shows. It was like David Letterman was coming on and stuff.
Late night talk.
And I told her, they're bad shows. They won't make me laugh. Don't worry. So I'm flicking around and stuff. And I land on the movie Ladybugs.
With Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
I love it.
And Jack A.
Sorry, I'm a big...
I swear to God, just looking at Rodney Dangerfield, Tony, I split my gut open.
I love that guy.
I'm laughing so hard at that dumb movie, Ladybugs.
It actually had a couple funny points.
Yeah, so yeah, that's going to be your big problem. You're going to get out of there. You can't laugh cough.
That's a real problem.
Eating will be a problem, too.
Really? Now I got bigger problems.
Man. I want to see John Haley, tee that golf ball off your belly button. Game time decision continues. All right, so the NFL schedule. People are going crazy. Ooh, the NFL schedule. And I don't often do this, Cam, but...
You're going to go crazy?
No, I've got... No, I go crazy all the time. I've got breaking news, though, as far as the schedule. I've got a scoop.
Really?
For Buffalo Bill fans. I have learned that the Buffalo Bills will be playing, Cam, this year in Buffalo. Brace yourself for this. They're going to be playing the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, and the New England Patriots this year in Buffalo. That's that's my breaking news scoop.
Where are you going with this?
You like that,
Florio? Where are you going with this?
That's all I'm going. Florio, you're a Bills fan. You like that? People are wondering about the Bills schedule. There's the Bills schedule. Now, where I'm going with this is Every year, man, the NFL schedule comes out and people freak out. And, oh, my God, this team's playing that team and this team's playing this team. You know what teams are playing what teams? The other teams in the freaking National Football League. All right? There's 32 teams, guys.
Like, you're right. You think you can make predictions with the schedule.
It's the same damn schedule every year. And it rotates. All right? So it's like it's always this, like, shock. Oh, I can't believe
it. But what NFC conference are they dealing with?
Who?
The Bills.
Oh,
Is it back to like Seattle, San Francisco, Rams, and whatever? That's what I want to know.
I think it's the North with the Vikings the North, and the Packers.
Yeah, that makes sense too. We haven't played Buffalo in a while. We're due for a trip.
I think it's the North. It is the
playing
North.
The North. Thanks, Florio.
See, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Florio's on top of it. You just guessed the North. Good call.
I knew
the North.
I knew they were playing the Packers and the Vikings. Yeah,
those are good games to go to though. If those teams are playing in Buffalo, that'd be great. Love to see the Packers at in Orchard Park, buddy.
Not if you're rooting
for
the Bills.
Road trip game. Yeah, don't worry about it, Florio. The Bills are a good home team. You know, that's a Bills fan. You guys are so like defeated before it even starts.
I swear to God, I think the Bills host the Lions and the Bears.
Oh, nice. Actually, that's and go on the road.
Yeah, of course.
That's actually want that.
Want that. I'd rather go to Detroit than go to Minnesota.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Got to play the games. You said, I to be honest with you, I was just saying from a fan perspective, you'd love to see Minnesota in Buffalo and you'd love to see Green Bay in Buffalo and you can take the other teams on the road. You get to see a better product.
The New York Post reports that the Buffalo Bills will play the Jets in Week 10.
Yep.
And, of course, me and Florio went to the Jets-Bills game last year.
Are we going this year?
It's a really big parking lot.
They're going to host the Jets.
Are we going this year, he says, Gabe.
Yeah, you know what? All right. Oh, here it is.
Going to make it a yearly trip.
According to Rob Domofsky, the Bills will travel to Green Bay to play the Packers in week four.
Ooh, that's early. Get it out of the way.
All right. According to Mike Schaap of WGR. The Bills.
Oh, Mike Schaap of the Bulldog.
Yeah.
I listen to Buffalo Sports Radio because they're always ragging on Sabres and Bills.
Does every city have a guy named the Bulldog?
Yeah. Mike Schaap of the Bulldog.
I swear to God. Like every
AM 550 Buffalo.
How many like Bulldogs are there in Sports Talk Radio?
Lots.
And the other one is Storm and Norman.
Yeah, Storm and we got Storm at the late night empire. Storm and Norman Rubak.
Yeah, like there's been a Storm and Norman on like numerous stations. I used to work with Storm and Norman Marshall.
Seriously. Storm and Norm Marshall. I like it. What a good handle, though. Yeah, I still like it.
Storm and Norm. He really was storming.
Storm and Norm was – our buddy was storming for a while, too.
Storm,
chill now.
Storm and Norm and Rumack.
Yeah. Norm's chilling.
Although
right
I
now.
Know – isn't Rumack – isn't he the late-night vampire?
Yes, on the Fan 590, late-night vampire Storm and Norman Rumack. Hammerhead alert. I got a T-shirt for you. Leafs and Boston tonight. For five callers, come through on Storm and Norman's Leafs post-game show.
I did a show. He came on after me on
Sirius. I used to come on his show. He'd keep me on for an hour. I'm like, Norm, I know Reebok's paying you. Like, where's my check? Like, it was unbelievable. The guy used to call me on Friday night. I'm like into like my ninth beer watching the game. And, hey, Cam, Storm and Norman here. You having fun? Yeah, let's do the show. He doesn't understand one segment, Gabe. He likes full show. Talk to Storm and Norman. You're on for an hour. Everybody called you. You even said you had other hits to do at other radio stations. Like, no offense, Norm. I love you, but we can't talk for 2 hours here. I got my own show.
I was on for 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes. Still, that's short for him.
I was on for 30 minutes. So, yeah, people freak out about the NFL schedule, but, yeah, whatever, man. There's no – you can't judge.
Put a win and loss already down there.
Yeah, and then exactly. You can't judge the NFL schedule about what's easy and what's not, what's a good game and what's not a good game. How many times, man, now Monday Night Football, we've gotten a crappy game. And
turned out to be legendary, Rams and 49ers?
No. I was going to say, yeah, that game was all right in week two. But I was going to say, how many times has there been a crap-ass game near the end of the year on ESPN, and you can't even blame them? It's like, well, nobody expected the Raiders to suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this year, man, like the Raiders played the Eagles on primetime television.
That's correct.
When you make the schedule, you don't expect the Eagles and the Raiders game to suck. But the Eagles had already wrapped everything up, and the Raiders were terrible. And they played a crap-ass 9-3 stupid game in the rain on Christmas night or whatever the hell the final score was.
Yeah, it was a brutal, brutal football game.
Right? There's a lot of games where they'll schedule it, and you look, oh, look at this Monday nighter. Man, that's pretty good. Like, who thought the New York Giants would be as piss poor as they were last year,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. We don't know. Like, you don't know. Like, you can't gauge a schedule by strength of schedule. And on a more serious note, from a gambling perspective, guys, all right, because we're more than just rage here. On a more serious note, if you really want to gauge a strength of schedule, guys, you can gauge it through Vegas win totals.
Yeah, that's what that's what you do. Look at Vegas.
Yeah, so you don't take, because everyone always looks at a strength of schedule and goes, what the team's records were last year. All right, teams are different year to year.
Exactly.
They're like you. They're different year to year. More mature.
Yeah, really?
No, actually, no. You're the exact same since I've known you. I haven't changed. I'm the same. We're not different at all.
We're just getting older.
Yeah, different, but the same. Just different.
Have I lost weight, too, Morenci? People are telling me, some guy said I look more spelt today when I saw me in the condo. He thinks I lost like 10 or 20. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but thanks. I'll keep on eating chicken wings.
You look the same.
Okay.
I just said the same.
The same.
The same. I think you're a little lighter than you used to be.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue on the other side. I'll tell you about the win total angle here.
We were non-believers in an Ohtani, but he had a blister. He had a blister.
Back off. He had a blister, man. It's not fair.
The blister should have been on
his neck.
They
should have stopped the game. Just like they, they asked the crowd to be quiet. And they shouldn't have done that, actually, because now word's out. Because that's the thing in Japan; they're very polite, unlike you, Tony. So
yes,
they're very polite in Japan. They don't make, they don't make noise like when their players are hitting. And if you guys didn't hear the story, it was in Kansas City. Similar to like Ichiro, right? So like Japanese fans are going to pop up in every city, right, to support this dude. So there are a bunch of Japanese fans behind home plate in Kansas City when the Angels were there, and they were going crazy and stuff when Ohtani came up. And the Angels actually sent the interpreter out there to them and said, listen, he doesn't like when you make noise. He prefers to bat with silence. So now word's out. It's sort of like Odell Beckham. When people figured out that Odell, you can reduce Odell to tears or get him to punch you by saying crazy things to him. Now word's out, Tony, that Ohtani doesn't like the noise.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you watched the game last night, there are a lot of Red Sox fans there, so I'm sure they weren't so receptive to Mr. Ohtani.
Yeah, you guys are everywhere, man. You're like cockroaches.
It's crazy when you think about it.
I got a couple of coaches that I want to throw into the bus. So let's start off with head coach of the Los Angeles Kings, John Stevens, all right? The guy's a stupid idiot, first off. Now, listen, I bet the under. I told you guys I like the under in this game. I thought the Kings could get it done. But what I did, Tony, is I pulled the trigger with about 5 minutes left. The in-game total was over under 1.5. And it's 1-0. And it's an elimination game. So the Kings are going to throw the damn kitchen sink at them. And then I'm even thinking, well, they'll probably even pull the goalie with like 3 minutes left or something like that. And normally I don't like that. But, Tony, and listen, I've been bitching about this for years, and I've always been a proponent of it. When I state, man, you pull the goalie with 2-3 minutes left, the other team's going to score, and the game's just over instantly. But it's a little bit different, Tony, when you're losing 3-0 in a 7-game series and you're losing 1-0 in a game. Like, you're out of time. It's like, and all you need is one damn goal. It's like needing a touchdown, being on your own 14-yard line, and you keep on running the damn football. Well, we're going to stick to our game plan. There's still 3 minutes left. That's something Rex Ryan would do. Like, I swear to God, it's like Rex Ryan punting with 2 minutes left in overtime, and then Ajayi pops off a 90-yard run, and they lose. Like, that's something I would expect Rex freaking Ryan to do. You know, listen, Vegas were the better team. Vegas probably would have won anyways, but I really got screwed over for my in-game bet because this stupid jackass doesn't pull a goalie. Jonathan Quick's looking over at the bench with about 3 minutes left. The analysts are freaking out saying, I don't know why they don't pull a goalie. I don't know why they're not pulling a goalie. Then they pull a goalie with 55 seconds left, and they get a bunch of scoring opportunities. They were so overmatched without pulling a goalie, you couldn't get possession of the damn puck. You know what? It's just, I'd like to hit the guy with a puck right now. You can go screw yourselves, John Stevens. And you know what? I'll drop this if you give me $300, because that's what you cost me. Pay me $300, and I'll have Mike Florio delete this rant. If not, make it the damn promo and run it every day. Just repeat it on a loop of me saying, John Stevens, you suck. All right? Yet he's not the only coach, Tony, that screwed me last night. Oh. I had the over, 214 points in the Pelicans and the Blazers game. They're at 210 points. They're at 210 points with 39 seconds left. All right? Now, basically, they were at about 206 with about 2.5 minutes left. Did you watch the end of the game? I'm sure that you did.
Yes,
so the
I
Pelicans,
did.
It was like a stupid college game, Tony. So the Pelicans have the ball. You know, with about 2.5 minutes left, they're up by six, they're up by four, et cetera, 104, 100, whatever, 2.5 minutes left. And they shoot the ball. They miss. They get the rebound. They kill another 24 seconds off the shot clock. They shoot the ball. They miss. They get the rebound. They go to the free throw line. They miss. They get the rebound. It was 2.5 minutes of ineptness by the Portland Trailblazers. And I swear to God, Tony, I remember about 2 weeks ago in the regular season, that stupid moron, Terry Stotts, the head coach of the Blazers, screwed us by doing the same thing. He didn't foul. Now, Tony, if you're not getting any rebounds and you're down by six and there's about 40 seconds left at this point in time, you know what? The clock's not your friend. You're better off putting these jackasses on the free throw line than letting the clock expire. And then, of course, Tony, I lose the over, pretty big bet, by one damn point.
I
swear to God, it.
It
was Terry Stotts' fault. The guy's a moron.
I don't get it when we see teams like that don't foul. Like, what are you waiting to happen? What are you going on? Like, it is so insane, the ending of these NBA games. Down by 6 points, how do you pack it in?
They totally quit. And then they didn't even foul at the end. And
no.
He told them not to foul. He told them, Tony, you're down one game to none. You already lost the game on your home court. You're down by six with 1.5 minutes left. That's a basketball game, Tony. You know what I mean? Like, that's scratch, claw, foul to the end. Like, I get it. You know, NBA players are generally gutless bitches that quit and just want to go to the strip club and cheat on their pregnant wives. All right? But we see it in college, in which you see it all the time, right? Like the coach, yeah, we're down seven. We don't really have a chance, but let's just keep fouling and shooting threes until we run out of time. It's just in the NBA, even in the playoffs, they quit, Tony. The Portland Trailblazers quit last night.
Sad. It's very sad.
There's my rant.
That's very sad, man.
John Stevens and Terry Stotts, you can both go screw yourselves, all right? You know, why don't you get married, in fact? Just get married. Get married, run off, and go screw yourselves forever, all right?
There's my
coaching advice.
Yeah, in Oregon,
exactly.
I think that's allowed.
Yeah, they're both fired. Like, if it was me, you know, whatever. Like, Terry Stotts is an all right coach, but he's never going to win anything, right? He's just one of these guys.
No.
And Portland are just a sort of useless franchise that are just there. No urgency with that basketball team last night at all. I don't understand it.
Listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.